Wait a minute, what am I doing? Two men in a what? Two friends from film school, one who graduated, one who did, and they decided to make a podcast. Okay, this has never been done before, right? Okay. This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.
I've never even seen the video, and I know it's
I've never seen it, but I've just been doing like a skitty bee toilet to you, Mr. Beast.
Oh,
that's how I greet them, and they get like really upset. And when they say, that's not what you like, I'm like, for real? No cap, dude, I have Riz. And they get like really upset. And you know what? Our kids are right to call it Pokemans. It's so much fun. It's so much fun to make kids angry by just saying they're like things wrong. Should try it. You work at a college campus, though. You go, just next time a kid comes up, be like, "Ah, skitty bee toilet to you, Mr. Beast."
No,
it's so much fun.
I'm good, thanks.
It's so much fun, dude. Calling it fart night, classic. They're like, it's a fart night, and they have to know. I know. They're like, you know what you're saying. I'm like, nah, dude, it's fart night, and they get so upset. It's so much fun.
Okay.
Dude, I'm going to rock my 40s.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm going to rock my... I'm going to be in, like, Target, and I'm going to see a kid purchasing, like, I don't know, like a skitty bee toilet thing, because the movie will have come out by then. And be like, nice skitty bee toilet. He's pretty fun. Pretty fun character. Kids are all right with your skitty bee toilet, Mr. Beasts.
Yeah?
This is all I have is... tormenting the youth by acting like a ignorant old man who doesn't know anything that's going on. And it's true, I don't. I just like a week ago discovered who, like, I'm gonna say the name wrong, Chapel Rowan is it
Chapel Roan?
I thought it'd be Chappelle Roan, perhaps. Is it Chapel Rowan?
Chapel Roan.
Chapel Roan.
Yes.
She does some pretty sick tunes.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah, Chapel Roan does some pretty sick tunes. And I just discovered who she was. And I feel like when I was younger, I would have been. It would have been like sooner on my radar,
mm-hmm.
But now it's literally like what's happening? Who? What are all these kids talking about? What's all these Snapchats about? Who is this? Oh, Chapel Rowan's pretty nice.
Yeah,
and that's like what I say, which is like what an old person says. I get bullied for saying that.
Please start the podcast.
Welcome to the Two Men in a Movie podcast, where each week, one rapidly aging man shows another rapidly aging man a movie he can't believe he hasn't seen. As always, I'm the out of touch with the youth, Matthew Olenchek, joined by my wonderful work husband, Harrison Poole. Hey, Harrison, why do you hate Halloween so much?
I don't hate Halloween.
Why do you hate Halloween so much?
I don't hate Halloween.
He really hates Halloween, folks.
I don't. It was fine. It's a fun holiday. I don't hate Halloween. Why do you keep saying I hate Halloween? Because this movie as a whole didn't work for me?
Yeah, this movie that you said, it's just Halloween in Ohio. Well, no. If the movie is Halloween in Ohio, and you don't necessarily like the movie, therefore, you don't like Halloween. That's a logical argument. I got A+ in formal logic. It's one of the few classes I did well in.
No, I'm just saying that they're making Halloween in Ohio seem so exciting when it's just Halloween in Ohio.
I think it's your Midwest trauma.
Yeah, okay.
I love the Midwest. I love everyone in Ohio. I love this state. All right, so...
Yeah, I
when
also
you, when
love
you guys come
state.
To when we have live shows and you want to throw corn at people who don't like Halloween or Midwest, spare me.
And I don't. I'm
gonna pick
me.
It off the stage and throw it back. Right,
I like Halloween. I like Halloween, and I like the Midwest enough. It's cool. I'm happy enough to live here. But like, this movie was fine.
It's a masterpiece, folks. This week I brought. The masterpiece, often heralded as the best Halloween movie ever.
Often
by
you.
By luminaries such as Steven Spielberg,
no,
Florence
by
Pugh.
No, by you. No, by you and you
Timothy
alone.
Chalamet.
By you and you alone.
That's not true. I have a friend in Japan who loves it. I brought Trick or Treat, which is a delightful movie produced by a man and directed by a man whose name I do not know.
Michael Dougherty?
That sounds right. And it's like this little, like, anthology film about how great Halloween is. And it has all the things you would like in a Halloween movie and everything that you'd like in Halloween even. It's got slutty costumes. It's got kids doing pranks. It's got trick-or-treating. Obviously, it's in the name. It's got jack-o'-lanterns. It's like the most comprehensive and complete. It's like that when that one guy in Rome, was it Plutarch? Probably not. Who wrote like the most comprehensive history up until that point, and it's like a masterpiece. It's like this is the definite, this is that, but for Halloween.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what the Library of Congress said.
This is a fine movie.
I've read studies on my science app that says that people who don't like this movie, I don't like Halloween.
Okay.
Yeah, they did it at the Mayo Clinic.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You pull up the study right now.
It's updating my science app.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's got a lot of science every day, so it's like 3 hours I can't use it.
So this is a 2007 anthology movie.
And it feels it. That's also, I think, why I'm so fond of it. It is 2007.
Yes, it came out it had a limited national release in 2009, but it premiered in 2007 at like a horror movie 24-hour marathon
to rapturous applause,
to positive reviews. Yeah,
everyone stood up and clapped, and they actually canceled the rest of the festival. They're like, "We did it. We reached the peak. Anything afterwards is not going to be as good as this movie." And they went, "We love Halloween. We love Halloween."
I understand why people like, I don't know why you love it, but I understand why people like it. It's cool. It has some stellar moments. As a whole, does not totally work for me. I don't think it nails any particular tone. I think it feels very disjointed, and I understand that's part of, like, it's purposeful, but I think doing something on purpose doesn't necessarily make it good.
Everything weaves into each other, which is going to make discussing it hard, so we'll just do, when we get to it, we're just going to do each individual storyline.
Sure.
Because I'm not doing this in order. I don't remember which order things come in, necessarily. Because it's all weaving in, and there's all the different stories, and they're cutting between them all.
Yeah, like the opening scene is technically the ending scene.
Yeah.
I will... That's not true. I don't want to rewatch this movie. I'm not against
hates
it.
Halloween.
I don't hate it. I will watch this movie again it's another time a couple years from now. But like, I don't...
The most non-committal.
I don't... If it's on, I'm not going to begrudge it. But I don't know if I'm ever going to purposefully watch this movie again.
I'm going to try to get Neve to watch it. She has good taste, so she's going to love it. And then she's going to make you watch it, like, all the time.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. this movie...
Shut up, Harrison! Sit in the chair watching Trick or Treat!
Okay.
That's how I view your relationship happening, just so you know.
As abusive?
No.
Or
not
demanding?
Demanding. It's a lot of, like, we're doing this! And you go, yeah, honey.
No, I mean, no, not really.
We're going to Clown Fest, okay, honey?
Nope, that's not happening. So,
yeah, who'd want to go to Clown Fest? That's because it's not like a Halloween thing in my head. It's just a festival for the art of clowning.
Yeah,
and I don't it sounds like a trade show. I wouldn't want to go.
Yeah. So this is
I think
the
they're
last,
boring.
This clowns. Is the last movie of October.
Hey, happy Halloween, everybody! To all you Halloween lovers out there.
Happy
Team Matthew, we call them. Team Matthew. And Team Matthew hashtag loves Halloween.
I also like Halloween.
I don't believe you.
Okay. this is the last movie we're watching in October. Probably my least favorite of the month, if I'm being absolutely honest. And again, I don't
hate
it. I mean,
it fits because it's your least favorite month.
So the opening... The opening and closing scenes are essentially the same.
Oh, yeah, they're the same. It opens up in a delightful Halloween atmospheric setting.
Yes, it does.
We don't know it's Ohio yet, but we know. But you don't know. Like, if you're not from Ohio, you might be like, oh, where's this taking place? But, like, being from the Midwest, you're like, this is somewhere in the Midwest.
Yes.
Probably Ohio.
Oh, yeah. It's a married couple. They just came back from a party of some sort. The wife, the wife is dressed up as a robot and the husband is dressed up as something.
Like a knight?
Yeah, I'm going to say that.
Yeah, I don't. That's the one thing, because she doesn't like Halloween. She doesn't like Halloween. He does. But she's like the way better costume.
Yeah.
Like her costume looks like it took work to put in. Did he make it?
I don't
know. Did he spend all his time in her costume? Like, oh, I hope she likes Halloween this year. And then just forget about his own?
But if he made it, then why didn't he make matching costumes?
He's not the smartest guy.
Like, I understand you don't have to have matching costumes as a couple.
Yeah.
Like, you're your own individual.
You should, and if you don't, you're probably not that deeply in love.
You're your own individual person. I'm just saying it's one of the dumb couple-y things that are actually kind of fun.
Yeah, no, it's like, it's also so low effort.
Yeah.
Like, truly, if you're a couple and you don't have costumes that are at least related, I'm like, what's up with that? Like are you, one of you better be super passionate about your thing.
Oh yeah.
And like you're like, I want to do this, and they don't really want to do this because they're like supporting of it, but they're not really into it. But like, if you don't have, you know, I'm gonna say it, I'm gonna come out, this is an official stance of the podcast, which we should get a list going. We should have like a list on a website of like our things I've said are official stances. If you don't have couples costumes on Halloween's, you don't love each other.
I don't believe that.
It's official stance of the podcast.
I don't believe that. I do think it's weird not to.
It is weird. It is weird.
Yeah.
It's low effort.
It's, yeah.
It's so low effort.
It's also low stakes.
Like, it's low stakes, low effort. It's like buying flowers is riskier. Because you might get one she doesn't like or he doesn't like.
Yeah.
Or they might go bad really quick because the grocery store put them out super late and you're like shopping at Acme, which is a terrible place to buy flowers, but that's what you're doing. This is like, just get a costume that vaguely looks like. Like, same genre you can even do. One of you could be Bluey, one of you could be Blues from Blue's Clues. That works for both dogs from children's shows.
Honestly, that would be a fun...
It's fun!
To constantly have to explain that for the entire night, that would still be fun.
I tell you my Halloween costume.
What?
Because I'm going to a party. I'm getting like little shitty cat ears.
You have told me this.
Yeah. Probably on the podcast. Probably last episode.
You did last episode. I don't remember if I kept it in.
It's the shirt that says, think of me as like a black cat or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be fun.
So it's a married couple. The dude,
I like costumes you have to explain.
The husband is real into Halloween and
Falcon.
Yeah. And the wife really isn't. She doesn't super care about tradition.
Quick aside, this movie's rated R. I think it's just because of the tits, right? That pushes it over to R?
I think it's a couple F-bombs. It's nudity.
The F-bombs.
And... I don't know where the level of violence, like,
because I don't
lands.
Feel like the violence goes past PG-13. Then again, I've never been super good at being like, what's PG-13? What's R?
No.
Mostly it's like, oh, it's violent and nudity? R.
Yeah.
But like, it isn't a super violent, gory movie. Yeah, but anyways.
No. No, she's not really into tradition. She blows out the jack-o'-lantern candle
he's like, oh, that's,
before Halloween.
Gotta be careful. Gotta be careful,
and
you know?
She's tradition. Like, it's Halloween, not Hanukkah. And,
it's a great line.
Yeah. And she blows out the candle and then starts cleaning up.
And we see from a field of view some heavy breathing, like someone's watching them. Also, literally insane. Like, this is the one thing. She is literally crazy because he's like, I'll do it tomorrow. She's like, no, you're just going to sleep till noon and play video games. Why are you taking down your Halloween decorations in the middle of the night?
Yeah.
That's a crazy person thing
I
to do.
I agree.
Like, not even, forget the whole respecting Halloween, lest naughty fortunes befall you. It's just like a nutty thing to do. Why are you tearing down your yard in the middle of the night?
Oh my God, I forget what song. There's a Taylor Swift lyric that's like, we'll keep our Christmas tree up till January. And I'm like, doesn't fucking everyone?
Yeah.
Like,
everyone does. I don't take mine down until my birthday, which is a bit excessive, but I view that as the end of Christmas.
Sure. But
it is like, if you're like, not, oh, Christmas is over, and you went down the middle of like a December night, like at like 11 p.m. and started deflating your inflatables. Everyone's like, what the fuck's wrong with that?
If I see Halloween decorations all up until like mid-November, I'm like I'm not weirded out by
it. Yeah.
Right around Thanksgiving is where I'm like, okay, like do your thing, celebrate all you want, but like we're an entirely different holiday.
We're an entirely different holiday. Time to change. Can you watch fucking Christmas Before Halloween? What's that called? What's that movie?
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah. You got to keep them separate.
Yeah.
The holiday congregation loves segregation. You got to keep them separate. Otherwise, Jack Skellington, man, is going to go through a door. He's going to be confused. He's like, I thought this was Thanksgiving, but clearly my visage all around. Don't do that to that poor man. So, he's the fuck a corpse. He's going through a lot.
So the husband goes inside to sleep and watch porn.
Well, he goes inside to watch porn. I think he just falls asleep.
Yeah.
Because he's like, oh, let's fuck. And she's going, okay. And he goes to put on his VHS labeled... What's the label?
Nature Special.
Nature Special, which is just a porn. Which is like, I feel like it's antiquated even for 2007.
Good for him.
It's just weird. It's a weird...
Maybe he has an emotional attachment to this one video.
That like came out when he was like 7? Maybe 10?
Yeah, maybe it's like the first thing he saw.
When do men start puberty?
10 to 14, some later.
Really,
but
10?
I mean, probably around, like, yeah, 12.
Like, despite
to
having gone
15.
Through it, being a man,
uh-huh.
Like, if you pointed the gun, I mean, like, when do men go through puberty? I would have been like, 13.
That's about right. Yeah. Like, 12.
Age is weird. Yeah, so he's just going up there, and he's taking things down. And then we have a moment where we see a masked guy, and she's like, it's the killer. And she's like, oh, God, he's scary. But it's just a dude getting into a car. But then she is attacked when she goes into her box of Halloween decorations she has sitting on her lawn at 11 p.m. at night.
So she's tearing down the scarecrow sheets, and then one of them is Sam, who's like... Sam is this like...
Yeah, we haven't seen him yet, right?
No.
Yeah. But this is Sam, who I think comes up pretty soon, so we'll discuss him then. Because, like, yeah, we don't know what's attacking her. We just see, like, ah, blah, blah. And he wakes up, and the porn's on static, and he's like, oh, where's my wife? And he goes outside, and then there's, like, a scarecrow that's blinking, and he takes it down, and she's dead. Blood's dripping. She got a big old sucker in her mouth, and there's Halloween music, and it's trick or treat. It's a great opening to a great movie that everyone loves if they love Halloween.
And then what's the next storyline? Is the next one the principal?
We can just choose them.
Yeah, they all interconnect. They all interweave.
They all are happening at the same time.
Yes. So
some probably aren't, but they're all. It's pretty much like the same, like. 2-hour time period everything happens in.
All over one, it's the same night.
Yeah.
Except for the bus crash, which takes
place.
Is this
a flashback?
Yeah, it's a flashback. Which technically also takes place over this night.
Yeah.
Because.
Halloween.
The kids are zombies.
Yeah.
But
we can do the principal. I really like the principal a lot. He's my favorite character. Principal Wilkins is my favorite character in this movie.
Really?
I just, because like. The one thing I really like about this movie is that each of the storylines has a different, like, flavor to it.
Sure.
I like anthologies. I like VHS. I like everything having, like, and it's all tying in, but, like, each one's a bit different. And, like, the Principal Wilkins is, like, a bit more of a comedic tale for a large part of it, mm-hmm. at least for his personal storyline. And it's just fun. It's almost slapstick. He's having a slapstick adventure.
What?
He's having a slapstick adventure. He keeps running into all these little problems when he's trying to do his dark deeds, and it's comedic.
Okay, I did not find it funny.
That's because you like children. Yeah. So like we with his storyline, we see this little curly haired shit.
This little
fat fucker walking around.
She's
knocking,
like 9.
Knocking. You know what? I don't respect. Like, he's a piece of shit. He's knocking down Halloween. He's knocking down jack-o'-lanterns that someone put up to celebrate Halloween.
Yes, he's being a shitty, let's say, 10-year-old.
Piece of shit. Look, I often
being way too dramatic about this.
I often get some, like, people say I don't like Halloween because I want to go do Halloween stuff with them. I don't like scary stuff. I'm not a big scary guy. I don't like really scary horror. I don't like haunted houses. I think we talked about that in Fright Night. But I do love like Boo at the Zoo Halloween. I like a nice, not super scary Halloween where it's like jack-o'-lanterns and there's candy and there's like, ooh, it's a ghost or a Frankenstein. I love that shit.
Sure.
And so there's this beautiful town, because we see a newscast where they're talking about how this town takes Halloween pretty seriously. And it's just like a fun, everything's decorated, there's jack-o'-lanterns, people put work into, it's a wonderful, like if I was in this town, I'd be thrilled. I'm like, look at this wonderful town full of Halloween spirit. And this little fucking curly-haired shit is just knocking them off. I do not tolerate delinquency on Halloween. I hate this kid. He deserves what he gets.
No, he doesn't.
He's a piece of shit. You know, you think he's gonna get better when he grows up? No, he's gonna be knocking off fence posts. His wife. He's gonna grow up into an abuser. I read a study on my science app that kids who break jack-o'-lanterns are more likely to become abusive in relationships. No, but really, I think this kid's gonna grow up to be a piece of shit.
Okay, I think he's gonna grow up to be a fine, would have been grown up to be a fine member of society. He was a 10-year-old who didn't know how to handle life.
No, I subscribe to the loser club rules, where the person you are when you're 10 to 12 is the person you'll be when you're an adult.
That's
people don't change.
Sad.
People don't change.
Really sad. Listen, I don't think
when I was 12, I was a pretentious, sad kid listening to My Chemical Romance, and now I'm a pretentious, sad adult listening to My Chemical Romance.
Okay, so your survey size of one.
Yeah.
Okay.
There was actually a study that said that like the music you listen to around that age in high school like defines your taste for the rest of your life.
Yes, because your brain is forming and you're starting to get your own taste.
Yeah, and his brain's forming into a man who thinks it's okay to wreck art.
Yes, he's a 10-year-old who doesn't know how to be a person yet and is being destructive because he doesn't know how to be a person yet. Because being a person is hard and none of us asked for this.
Look, I'm not saying every kid who does this. I'm not saying every kid who does this is going to be shit.
Specifically
him? I'm just saying he seems like, because sometimes, I agree, sometimes you're just a shitty kid and you learn as you get adults. Also, equally, sometimes you just continue to be a shitty person. People can just stay shitty, Harrison. Not everyone has personal growth.
They can.
I love your positive outlook on life. Sometimes people are just shitty.
I agree. Sometimes people are just shitty. But I don't think
he seems like a real rude kid. I don't think he's going
to... I don't think it's fair to judge a 10-year-old. First off, we don't know this kid. We interacted with him for all of 10 seconds at this point.
Gonna really hung up on this anyway. So he knocks off a bunch of jack-o'-lanterns, he goes up to this house and there's like, sorry, I'm not in right now, take one piece of candy. And like foreshadowing like how like during the housing crisis he that's happening right then, fuck, give me a second, what else happens, Ben? Foreshadowing how he's going to get really into crypto, he starts taking all of it. He's a greedy little fuck, just starts taking all the candy, doesn't even pay attention to societal norms.
Okay. It's okay, dude. So he starts.
Fun fact: if you read the credits, his name is Brock Turner.
No, he isn't. Yeah. No, he isn't.
That kid grows up to be Brock
Turner. I know. No.
Which is wild, because when they made this movie, they just chose a name. He didn't do anything yet. It's nuts. It's one of those little quinky dinks.
Jesus.
It's like when you see like a movie where that like 9/11 happens. You're like, oh. What the hell? They hit the towers in this movie? Wow, foreshadowing. And the Simpsons knew.
Okay. So.
But yeah, so he's taking the candy. He's like, greedily shoving to his bag like a little fucking pig he is. Hate this kid. And then we hear, hey, what you doing? And it's Principal Wilkins. He's a nice, clean-looking man in a 50s. He looks like a 50s father, right? That's the best way to describe him, is like 50s father.
Sure.
Like, he's just wearing his suit. He has his hair kind of styled in, like, a I work in an office kind of way. He's, like, a principal.
Yeah, he's a high school principal. Yeah,
he looks like... Is it high school?
In Wikipedia, it was.
Yeah. Because everyone seems to know him. Even, like, the younger kids.
Maybe they have older siblings.
Maybe they have older siblings. I was an only child growing up. I didn't think about it. But he's like, hey, what are you doing?
You forgot siblings existed?
I have to. If I start to unpack the idea of siblings, I'll have a mental breakdown.
Sorry.
So we have like, he's like, what are you doing, Balio? And he goes up and he sits down with him. And he's like, you know, it's okay. No one's going to kill you over taking one piece of candy. And then they're talking and he's like working a jack-o'-lantern. He's kind of telling him about like, you know, you got to take these stuff seriously. Halloween's people, all these things were made to protect us. And now we just kind of forgotten about them. And that's when this kid starts like projectile vomiting, like a lot.
Like blood and bile. Yeah,
blood, bile and chocolate, I think.
Yeah. Sure, by default chocolate, yeah. But
he's like, and his chocolate library is like, he's like, you have to remember one of the traditions, always check your candy, and he vomits and like then he just like passes out on the guy and he's like, oh god, that's where I feel the slapstick coming, because he's trying to be like all menacing and it's just like he's trying to like creepy. Ooh, check your candy. But this guy is just like projectile vomiting. And so he's just like kind of distracting from him.
Sure. Okay.
And then he has a lot of trouble dragging him into the house. And he's like, oh, God. And then he hears a knock on the door. He's like, fuck, in a minute. He goes out and there's all the kids and they scream. He's like, wow, great costume, Principal Wilkins. And he gives them all candy. And this one kid like kind of knows what's up because he sees that there's like the blood being dragged in. He goes, happy Halloween. And then he's, like, taking it out to the back to bury it in a big hole, where I think it shows that there's other people in the hole,
too. Yes, because he's a serial killer.
Yeah, he's a serial killer. And then so he's, like, doing this, and it's causing him trouble. And then he's like, Dad! And his kid in the window is like, what? Stop waking everyone up! He's like, go watch Charlie Brown! He's like, Charlie Brown's in, what does he call him, like, an idiot?
Or something? An asshole.
He's like, watch your language! He's like, I'll be right in! He's like, all right! Cool. And so he's trying to like bury this body secretly, but his kid's screaming. And then the dog next door is barking. He's like, oh fuck. And so he cuts off one of the fingers and throws it to the kid. And he's like, oh thank God that's taken care of. But then the neighbor's like, what are you doing? What's going on out here? And like then the kid wakes up. So like he's trying to have this discussion with his neighbor about how it's the septic tank while fighting off the kid who's trying to like fight back. It's slapstick.
Sure. Okay. Sure. I am more on board with the idea. Tonally, I don't think it's played off as slapstick. However,
I think tonally it's a more comedic scene.
Compared to him dying by getting eaten by werewolves, yes.
Like, I bet this actor's a comedian.
Yeah. Oh my god. Oh, I forget his name.
But I'm pretty sure this scene was supposed to be
Of all of them, it is the most comedic.
I think it's supposed to be slapstick.
Sure. I am coming around to the idea.
Okay.
When you describe what happens, it is very slapsticky. I don't think it's played that way. Or if it's... I don't think it nails it if it's trying to be played that way. Because I think it's trying to be played as suspenseful. However,
I don't think it's supposed to be suspenseful. Oh my god, the kid in the beginning who's looking at the girls, he's a grown-ass man now. That's upsetting.
Yeah, because he would have been what?
I know
10 in 07.
I just seeing the actor picture of him, I'm like, they have the same actor picture for the kid. That didn't change.
Nice. But his kid keeps interrupting him. Eventually, he kills the kid. When we first enter his house, we see it's filled with, like, cyanide and stuff. So we assume that's what he put in the candy bar. I think at first, it's supposed to be, like you're supposed to think it's razor blades. But that's way too much projectile vomit blood.
Yeah.
And
he would have known it. He would have. That would be an immediate effect.
Yeah.
Razor blades, but there was a moment where he's eating the candy and he's fine.
Yeah, it's cyanide and like something else.
But he goes potassium. Back, he buries it because the kid goes back in because he's like, help me carve the jack-o'-lantern. I always have trouble with the eyes. And he's like, I will be right in there to help you out. Please stay quiet. And then he does the bam with the shovel and we get the shovel. I love a good smack cut, which is what I'm going to call it. I don't know if there's a name for it.
Smash cut?
It is a form of smash cut.
Okay.
But it's like when the camera's hit by something.
Oh, sure.
Like you see it a lot in, like horror movies where like boom, I love cuts like that.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And we go inside, and he's like, his kid pops up in a scary mask, goes, "Wah!" And he's like, "Oh, all right, let's go to the basement so we can do the jack o' lantern." And he grabs a knife and hides it behind his back, and we go down. There's Halloween masks, which is a recurring theme in movies for us. Because there's also a garage in Fright Night with Halloween masks.
Yes.
That goes down.
Hellfest?
I've been calling it Fright Night.
Yes, you have. It's Hellfest.
I have no idea, man. I'm so bad with names.
Fright Night is an entirely different movie.
Wow, I've been giving the wrong recommendation for like a couple weeks now. So we go downstairs, and he pulls up the knife. He puts his hand on the head shower, and boom, and he pulls it up with his blood. But his kid's fine. Because it's this fat fucker kid he's killed head. And he's like, "Let's make him scary, Dad." And then we zoom out. And that's the end of that anthology.
Yes. And he shows up later.
He shows up later.
He shows up later in the girls, right? It's these four ladies all dressing up as princesses for Halloween, and it's supposed to be like sexy costumes. Yeah. And then
another tenet of Halloween. We've got the trick-or-treating and the jack-o'-lanterns. Now we're moving on to costumes. This movie will leave no stone unturned in its quest to cover all aspects of Halloween in a perfect fashion.
Okay. Anna Paquin is Little Red Riding Hood.
What's she from?
X-Men.
Okay. I was like, where the fuck do... Oh, yeah, she's Rogue.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Like, where the fuck do I know her from?
Probably got this role in some way because Bryan Singer is a producer on this movie.
It's okay. Okay, that makes... Yeah, that scans.
Yeah, scandal noted. Bryan Singer, scandal noted.
Yeah, yeah. I was about to say, is he super like shitty?
Yeah, that's why you say scandal noted. It's some comedian does it on a podcast, and it's the least effort way to be like, yes, I know. Like,
especially, yeah, because like there's a lot these days. You got to be efficient.
Yeah, you have to.
You have to be efficient. Like everyone you talk about, like there's a good chance.
But it's these ladies dressing up for Halloween, and they're trying to get Anna Paquin to to lose her virginity, and they're trying to get dates to this like Halloween party ritual thing. They send Anna Paquin away to this carnival to try and find a date for the party afterwards, and
the carnival being kind of like the whole town. Like, the whole town's kind of turned into this carnival center.
Yeah. It's like a Halloween parade, essentially. It's kind of like a haunted scare grounds, but not necessarily like... It's a haunted scare grounds if the scare grounds was a parade instead.
Yeah, yeah. If it was funded by the municipal government.
Yes. And then you just get townspeople being horny and making out in the streets. You have people getting drunk. You have people enjoying candy. It's all over the place. It seems to mostly be adults, which is good. You find this one lady and this dude dressed as a vampire making out in the corner and like aggressively getting hot and heavy petting, and he starts biting her, and it reveals because
she looks down, there's blood all over, and she goes and then she runs out, and it's the same couple from the beginning, and they're like, she's drunk. And then she turns around, and there he is.
Yeah, they think it's fake blood and like she's drunk.
I think that costume is a reference to something.
What?
The vampire costume. Costume the vampire's wearing.
It
reminds me of something from another movie.
Could not tell you off the top of my head. The kid staring across the street is Halloween, and the mask is very reminiscent of Scream.
I want to say it's a reference to another like horror villain.
Could not tell you. Vaguely, it reminded me of Phantom of the Opera, ever so vaguely. But like, you're probably right. It probably is a reference to something. The vampire ends up killing her in public and then setting her against the side of a building and closing her eyes. That's a weird, just a super weird tangent that doesn't super, like, it connects to everything, but it's not its own subplot. Like, I'm not sure. It just,
oh, it's tied in.
Yeah, but it just kind of, like, it happens during her story, but then, like, it cuts away to this one thing to happen. But we also don't know that it's the principal yet.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, the vampire is the principal.
Because he tells, when he's trying to both talk to his neighbor, subdue a corpse, and placate his child, he's like, oh, can we, can we do this? I forget what he wants to do tonight. He's like, look, we'll make some caramel apples that Grandpa used to make after that, but I have a date tonight.
Yeah.
And that's what he means by the date, is that he's going to go out and kill women.
Yes. Yeah, he's going to go make out and bite them.
Yeah. I think that scene serves. We need that scene.
Yes, 1,000%.
Yeah.
Because I'm not saying it's unnecessary. I'm just saying that it's, I don't know, like, it just, it feels disconnected, not, like, structurally it feels connected, but, like, it seems random until they meet the couple, and then it's like, oh, like, it's just so we can meet the couple to do this thing, but then we later find out, like, when we find out that the vampire is the principal, then everything is connected.
Well, because I think it's also because she ends up running into the vampire.
Yes.
So it's we need that scene to be like, oh, he's a threat.
No, 1,000%. Yeah. Like, I understand why it happens. I'm just saying when it is happening the first time you watch it, it feels weird. It feels out of place until he runs into her again. Then it's like, oh, that's why that exists. I just, like,
with spoilers, they're all werewolves. It turns out they're the threat of the storyline. I think it's they're putting that down to be like, this is the threat these girls are facing.
Sure. No, I get it. I just, when you don't know what's coming up in the movie, it just feels, it felt out of place. And then it makes.
See, I didn't have that when I first watched this, because it's like, oh, these girls are out going having fun. They were trying to get banged, and here is a sexual threat to them.
Yeah, but I thought but it's not one of the I thought it was going to be like one of the girls, and it's just this complete stranger.
Well,
and
yeah, because it's setting up the threat that it's going to face to the virgin character, the Little Red Riding Hood.
No,
character.
I understand that. I don't see
how you see this stuff. I think it connects fine.
Yes, having now watched the complete picture, I'm just saying when I was watching it, I was confused as to who this person was. Why are we seeing this random person? Or is this like the start of a completely separate storyline? And then like it wraps everything up. Like it makes sense.
I guess the first time I watched it, I'm just like, oh, they're setting up the villain for this woman.
Okay. I just, the fact that we've introduced at this point, like, four separate stories, and I just thought that this was the start of a separate story, and then it does, like, it ends super quickly, and I'm like, oh, does this just not go anywhere?
I thought he was going to come up later, and he does, to interface with the Little Red Riding Hood character.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it works fine.
I'm not saying it's
I truly don't understand where. Because, like, you're saying things to me, like, you're explaining your thought process, and I'm agreeing with it, but we're somehow not agreeing. I don't know what you're saying. Honey, you're not making any sense.
I just think it felt out of place until it didn't. Like, it retroactively made sense. I'm just saying, like, when I was watching it the first time, I thought it was setting up a separate story, not, like, trying to connect these three stories together. Like, it's fine. The scene works. I think the scene is fine. Also, I think now we've explained way too much about this, honestly, unimportant.
I guess this is a weird hangup.
I think it's a weird hangup you're having. The fact that it felt so unimportant.
I think it's a weird hangup you had.
Sure.
I'm not saying right now. It's the initial thing being like, I'm confused by this scene. I don't understand.
It just felt so unimportant. I'm like, oh, is this just like, did you just need to fill an extra 5 minutes because otherwise you're a 70-minute movie and that's weird? But, I don't know. The fact that you met the couple just fell out of nowhere. And then when we later find out that the vampire is the principal, I'm like, oh, okay, it's to connect all of these things together. I was just like, the couple's just there? Like, what's the point of this?
It's the sleight of hand. It's the watch this hand, not this hand. Because they don't want you to realize that, spoilers again, that the real threat is the women. Because they're the werewolves. So they're like, hey, we're going to go out and fuck. And we're going to get you fucked. Because 22's... too old to be a virgin.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. I'm not gonna stick to that stance. I couldn't hold it long enough for it to even remotely be interesting.
Be a virgin for as long as you want to be a virgin, or fuck if you want to fuck. I don't care.
We're talking about a lot of things, a lot about this thing that I don't think most people are going to experience.
No, I just think I don't like.
I think this was just a personal glitch in your brain.
I just think the way the movie is edited, telling four different stories that happen at the same time, and like the interweaving is cool. I just think the timeline is really weird, and the fact that you have to put like earlier and later at the end for the dude's time, like the old neighbor man's timeline. I think the
weaving works incredibly well.
I don't, but that's not true. I think the weaving works incredibly well. I don't think the timeline works well at all.
I think it's very easy to follow.
I do not.
This might be the reason why you don't like this movie. It might, if you like this movie or not, it boils down to, do you follow the timeline well?
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out like when in the night certain things are happening, and I don't know. I just don't think the timeline worked for me. But moving on,
like I could tell you right now when everything happens.
I don't care. I don't love this movie.
It's because it's the quarry.
Uh huh.
The quarry's happening. And then that's happening around the same time that the old man story is happening, which is when the first principal story is happening. After these things happen, we have the werewolf thing happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then following that, we have the final scene of the old man. And then the couple.
Okay. That makes enough sense, I guess.
I think it's incredibly easy to follow.
Okay, I don't. I think at this point I'm just checked out of this movie, and then I'm checked back in like during the transformation, because that's actually like really cool effects and a really cool story beat. But like, I think
All around it has cool effects. This movie I think that the set design and the effects of this movie are fantastic.
I think they work.
There's like no CGI, and it's all like puppets and animatronics. It's great.
Yeah, it works. It looks nice. It holds up pretty well, all in all. I think the Sam pumpkin skeleton head looks silly. But like,
it's supposed to look a little silly.
I think it's fine. It works. I just, like, everything holds up. I'm not, this movie fundamentally works enough. I just.
Then you should have gave it a 5 out of 10.
I'm checked out for most of it.
Oh, God. He hates Halloween.
I don't hate Halloween. It just doesn't do anything to keep me engaged in what's going on. But so there are werewolves, and there's a ritual, and she fucks the man while eating the man, and she's like, sorry,
this glaze is, over the entire
sorry, this is my first time.
Jesus.
Are we missing anything in that storyline?
Well, because we found out that they're all like the sisters. The one Cinderella character is his sister.
Yes, and this she is where tries kinda, to hook her up with the like and hideous man, yeah. Even though he just looks like a dude.
And they're express. Oh, he's dressed as a giant baby.
No, I understand.
I think if he was in another costume, yeah, he's not a great looking guy, but he's not a terrible looking guy. It's the giant baby that really.
No, that's unsettling. And
but they're all kind of. They're in the woods having a little party with people, and they're all kind of express. She's expressing concern. She's like, is she going to be okay? She's like, oh, she's always been like the run to the litter, which is a great foreshadowing. And then we see that she's walking around trying to find someone, and everyone's kissing or weird. And then that's when she interacts with the vampire, when she's walking and the vampire gets her. And then we cut to the ritual scene where like her body falls out of a tree. And they're like, oh my God, oh my God. And it's the principal wrapped up in her cloak.
Yeah, and the sister's like, what did he do to you? Because she's bleeding from the neck. And he's like, she's like, he bit me.
And she's like, I was playing hard to get, like you said.
Yeah, and then he bit me. And so
we have a fantastic werewolf transformation.
Yes, scene. Truly rules. Like
skin splitting to fur, like animatronic puppets.
They like peel off their arm skin, like.
Which is like in a lot of traditional folklore how it works.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we often we see like fur sprouting out of things in today's media, but like it used to just be like, yeah, you just take off your skin and there's a werewolf underneath. It's nuts.
Nah, it looks great.
Marilyn Manson's playing.
Yes. Oh my god. He's doing a cover. What cover is he doing? Some of them want to abuse you, some of them want to be abused. Oh my god, I forget what song that is off the top of my head. Yeah.
Hang on, I'll get it.
It's been for nights like these. Anyway, not the point. But Marilyn Manson.
Isn't it in the fucking X-Men movies?
Maybe.
Dun, 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 dun. It's in the second. It's literally the song in the second X-Men movie with the second Quicksilver scene.
Oh, okay.
It's gonna bother me the entire thing.
That's fine.
Because you know they do the slow mo scenes, and the first one it's Time in a Bottle.
Yes.
She
rips his fucking throat out and murders him, and we find out the vampire teeth are fake because of course they are.
Yeah, it's a principal. We find out those are fake, and then we find out it's the principal. He's like, yes. Who are you guys? Sweet dreams.
Oh my god. Yeah, sweet dreams are made of these. How did I not?
Yeah, that's on us.
Yeah,
that was bad. Looks bad. Cut that out. That looks bad.
I'm gonna leave it in because it makes us seem human.
Right, you're right. Up until this point, we've seen too much like immortal gods on Mount Olympus dictating our opinions. Okay. We need a little humanity, and we need some flaws.
So that's
Harrison spends every time editing like, how do I make us seem more relatable?
No, not even that. It's how do I make us seem not like dumbasses, but also seem human, but also have a cohesive final product.
Yeah.
And I don't think I nail it every time. But I think every
do as much as any man could.
I think in every episode, there's at least one really big cut where I cut like a five or six minute rant and make it seem pretty seamless. Where I'm like, I'm not a great editor, but once an episode, I feel really proud of myself.
Speaking of incoherence, I have to take a piss. Talk about Boo at the Zoo while I'm gone. No. Don't cut this out. Leave this in.
I'm not.
Leave this in. All right, where were we?
No, I think, I think that was the end of that storyline.
Yeah, because he's done.
Yes, he's done and the werewolves are done. Not because anything happens to them, but because, like, that they just,
that, like, that, always,
they no longer need to facilitate.
You always talk about, like, your
story.
15 minutes you want to see.
I want to
see a 15 minute short. I want to know more about this coven of women because they're all werewolves. And it seems like it runs in the family.
Yes. So, okay. So do you want...
And they mentioned that they're just in town. So they're traveling around doing this.
Yes. Do you want a backstory short or do you want a
post? I want a little bit. I want like the 15 minutes before act. I want like them saying hi to their, like bye to their mom. I want a little backstory.
Okay.
I want to know a little more about this. The concept of a traveling band of werewolf women intrigues me. I wish to know more.
So which one of them did you fall in love with?
Lord Riding Hood.
Yeah, Anna Paquin?
Yeah, she seems sweet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I just...
She seems sweet. I don't know why she has such trouble with men. She's a very cute, beautiful woman.
Agreed. Is there anything else from this storyline?
Yeah, that's it. It's the most interspersed one.
Yeah.
Like that's the one that's cut up the most throughout. A lot of them we stick for with a while. This one's kind of happening the whole night.
Yeah. I'm not going to beat that dead horse again. Never mind.
No, you said.
No, and I think because this is the most interspersed that the initial vampire meeting feels the most out of place and originally.
Well, yeah, because it takes the longest time because they're there at the start of the night.
Yes.
And the action doesn't happen until like... several storylines are tied up.
I think it's because we have the one storyline, then we cut to the siblings, and then we cut to something else, and then we cut to the makeout at the parade, and then we cut back to the kids, and then we cut to her meeting the... I think it's because we jump around the four storylines enough that where I'm like, I think it's going to be the start of another storyline, but it's actually the middle of another storyline.
When they made the first movie with cuts, they're worried people wouldn't follow it, but people could because it's a very simple story. The man who said that merely had a premonition of this movie, in your opinion. Was it the dog movie? Is that Rover Saves the Baby? Is that the name of it?
What?
It's the first movie that has cuts.
Oh, I don't know. But you know, yes.
The one with the dog and everyone's they're worried they won't be able to follow cuts. And which is,
the one where Name Redacted was like...
Why did the dog steal that woman's baby? Yeah, no, the one man who can follow cuts. Like, we've had we've had the same brains forever. I just find it like a ridiculous concept that some people couldn't follow cuts.
Right. Well, because it was new. Yes, we've had the same brains, but we haven't had the technology to, like, understand
media yet. But I feel the first time I watched a movie, I wasn't like, what's happened? What the picture changed?
Well, because you were also how old? Like, 3?
No, I saw my first movie at 10.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't believe you for a goddamn second. Yeah. And then there's... the kid storyline where the kids who do trick-or-treat at the beginning of the serial killer story, we follow them as they're collecting jack-o'-lanterns that she says are for UNICEF, but it's actually to offer at the altar at the lakeshore.
Yeah, there's some things I want to discuss here. One, those poor kids have to see like their teacher as a slutty cat.
Oh, my God. And
which
to watch...
it's... feels like such a realistic situation to me.
Uh-huh.
It's so, again, capturing the spirit of Halloween. Because Halloween is good, yes, but sometimes you see your teacher in a sexy cat outfit.
And they see the other teacher in the background having anal sex with the pig.
Also, like, what is... like, I just love... these pumpkins are for UNICEF. And it's like, what are they going to do? Box it up and send them to starving children overseas?
Yeah, I don't know. I think she just needed an excuse, and they thought that was an excuse no one would.
Well, because I guess UNICEF does like the pennies, or used to do the pennies. Probably don't anymore. But remember the little change boxes?
Yeah,
yeah.
But these kids, there's this the leader. Oh my god, I forget. Oh my god, what's her name?
I'm so bad at names, dude. You know this. I never remember anyone's name in anything.
The leader, I forget her name. Let's call her Morgan. The Morgan is like leading these other kids to the cliffside. They pick up an autistic child named Rhonda. I do remember her
name. Of which the leader, who's kind of a bitch, is strangely supportive of. Because the one kid says, "Isn't she a fucking retard?" And then the leader goes, "No, she's an idiot savant."
Okay, but she also hates that the Schrader, who she has a crush on,
I'm not saying she's supportive. I said she was strangely supportive of
in
her.
That one single
she's
moment.
She's strangely supportive because she hates this woman so much. She just does not like this person. She doesn't like that her crush is nice to her. She just wants to her whole plan is to bully this woman. But in this moment, she's like, no, she's not retarded. She's an idiot savant.
I also just think it's because you we were at a point now where that word was, I mean, it's never gone out of vogue.
No, in 2007, you could 100% call someone retarded and no one would call you on it.
I think people would start calling you on it. Because when was it officially changed to intellectually disabled? 12, I think, 2012.
Yeah, 5 years.
But, like, we were at the beginning of the Obama presidency. We had hope and change. And
racism ended.
No, I'm not saying that. But he was a marker. And I feel like around that time is when, like, the youths, but not necessarily the teens.
But 2007 was still, like... because we're 5 years away. We're still, like, prime Bush era.
We're... No.
Oh fuck! I was thinking of a second term. We're 2 years. No, you could. You could look. I'm saying.
This I'm not saying you could. Couldn't. I'm just saying. I don't. I think that that was the time where people were starting to. The young children were starting to call other young children.
I had
out.
Different. This might just be us growing up in different areas and different circles.
Well, I have an intellectually disabled uncle, so yeah. Like I. Yeah, I would often call people out.
Yeah,
And friends would often call people out. Like it's just, I don't. Yeah, this might just have
as
to deal.
as a shitty kid in 2007 who was like on something awful and terrible forums on the internet. You could 100%. It was still prime. That was still prime. Like oh, you're fucking gay. Too. It was still.
Yeah. Gay. I remember. I don't remember using it.
That just kind of changed amongst the youth. Like, you still had your bigots. I'm not saying it went away. But, like, I feel like around, like, 2010, 11, like, it started to rapidly fade away as, like...
Yeah, well, I think it's the influx of YouTube and the introduction of other culture. Like, you have a worldwide culture now. And so the children were starting to watch people from other cultures and it was becoming more accepting. Sense.
That makes sense, because I distinctly remember, like, everyone being like, hey, big gay, and then, like, oh, yeah, the lesbian couple's fucking in the bathroom. That's why there's a line of women outside, and that's okay.
You also have Glee.
Glee. It was Glee. It was 100% Glee.
It was 100%.
It was 100% Glee, wasn't it?
Yeah. Which, listen, I have a lot of issues with that show.
I mean, it did a couple of good things. The whole, like, timeline's weird, because we still have, like a ton of, like, homophobia, obviously. I'm not saying it's gone, but, like, the rapid level of acceptance change to the point that I woke up one morning and said, oh, I guess they make gay marriage legal. I thought it was going to be, like, a thing. For the longest time, I thought, like, it was going to be, like, a big, not, like, it was a big thing, but, like, it was going to be climatic, in a way. It was going to be, like, a big kind of, like, everyone's fighting over, and then, we're, like, everyone's paying attention to, like, the court case where it happens, you know? And gay marriage is legal. And I just woke up to an executive order. I was like, oh, okay.
I was a junior in a high school at a church school. It was a big deal in my world.
I was living in an apartment as a college student. And I woke up and went, oh, hey. And everyone was like happy. But we're all like, I thought it would be like a bigger moment. That it, like, it'd be on television when it happened.
Now, I was witnessing a lot of bigotry amongst amongst people my age and older. I was being taught a lot of bigotry. Yeah.
Not me. I was raised Catholic, and we don't have any bigots.
Get out. No. No, I'm not going to let you. I'm not even going to let you pretend to do that. Don't make a little stinker face. No, fuck you.
We're very accepting in the Catholic Church.
No, you're not. Not even kind of. I know. You've met the Catholics that work against hate.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, you're right. Yeah, so they pick up this kid and they go down to this quarry. And we have a flashback scene. I like a good hometown spooky story, but it's talking about how there's like this. There used to be this bus, or there used to be these kids who were very disturbed.
Yeah, which I think. Yeah, I mean, yeah, they use the word disturbed, and they have them all in chains and stuff. Maybe they were like hyper violent.
I think they were.
Like, but the way the kid was talking just seems like he had like severe autism.
I just think they were like hyper violent. I think it's like that point where it's not necessary that they're like they have a violent disorder, like just disorders that do make you like violent. You're just at a point where you will react violently to things because you're kind of like lacking the framework of understanding your actions.
Sure.
So they weren't necessarily like, oh, this person has killer disease.
Sure. They were just, okay.
But yeah. Like when you're driving, it also was like years ago. So it's like the 50s this was happening.
30 years ago. So like the 70s.
70s.
Almost the 80s.
Almost, yeah. But it's like, I guess it's the older style of Halloween costume that got me. Because the really old, creepy Halloween costumes, you know, they used to have.
Yeah.
Where they're dressing up with kids like, this is legitimately horrifying. Yeah, so it's back then, so they're more likely to put kids in chains because it was the 70s. But it was something where, like, nowadays you'd probably just restrain them in a more humane way because you're driving them on a bus and they really, you can't let them get off where they're sitting because they don't have
great impulse control. Yeah. So they she says disturbed kids. They probably are just like severely, like kids that need like a lot of like oversight and care. But the parents won't have that. They say, you know what? This sucks. I hate my kid. Came out wrong. We're gonna pay this bus driver off. And so he goes to like send the kids off into the quarry. I assume this is. I'm not sure what the actual plan was.
I don't know. Because I thought he was going to drive them all off a cliff and, like, take himself with them. But
I think he's going to put, like, a brick on the driver's thing.
Yeah.
There's some plan to get rid of these children in the quarry. But his fatal mistake was being nice to these children and giving them candy. Because he decides to give them all some last candy as he checks on their chains. And then the one kid who's been freaking out the whole time because he's counted the houses. And he's like, oh, we're not going the right way. And then realized they're not going the right way because they're in a rock quarry. Was like, I got to go home, got to go home. And he drives the bus off. He gets out of his restraints.
Yes.
That's why you need foot restraints, too.
What?
That's why you also need foot restraints.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
When binding and being bound, you should have foot restraints or it's, you can run away.
Yes. They're all dressed as like, they all are dressed in like paper masks. One just has like a bag over his head. One's like a clown. One's a vampire. Like they're all like different, like one, essentially universal monsters.
Yeah. One is 100% every time I see it, I think of the Danger Days Draculoids.
Yes. Yes.
It's the eyebrows.
That's the exact image I had in my head and I couldn't name where I thought it was from. Thank you so much.
There's a non-0% chance this is what inspired the Draculoids. What do we know about Gerard Way?
He
loves comics, which this is based off of. Loves Halloween.
Yeah. I mean, if you've listened to My Chemical Romance, any of their records,
he probably watches his movie every Halloween because it's his favorite Halloween movie. And he said, that's a good design for the Draculoids.
Okay. But, and
they're like, they don't know what happened to the bus driver, but he gets out. We see him get out.
Yeah.
And she's like, we're going to put a pumpkin down for each one who died.
Well, he gets out and then there's like the bubbling and a hand comes out, right?
No, it's just the mask.
Oh, it's just the mask? I thought, okay. Then what happened? Like, does he just live life? Like, does he not go back to town? Because I thought he got dragged under.
He's the guy, the bus driver's the old man.
You're right.
And also, we see the scar in the younger one. He has the same scar.
You're right. Yes, and that's why the kids are after him. Okay. Yeah, I think I subconsciously understood that. I don't know.
He's the bus driver. Which is why I was thinking, no one knows what happened to them, which is how the story.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that bugs me, is I think I got that he was the bus driver, but then I'm like, how the fuck does no one, like,
it
what?
It is like the way a story would develop, which I get. That is how the kids would frame it, is that no one knows what happened to him.
But they do know, like, he just goes back to town. Like, it happened in the town they lived
in. Yeah, but he becomes a recluse. Like, that's, like, the adults probably know, but as a story, kids tell each other.
Okay. Fair. Okay.
Though I do see that someone, I was looking up, someone was like, that's something I realized on my second viewing, that they're the same person. There's this r/horror by I Hate Children. I'm loving this guy already. I've considered Trick or Treat the most perfect and archetypical Halloween horror movie. And in another thread, someone calls it the Pulp Fiction of Halloween. And so...
But it's not...
It's pretty up there.
It's not...
But yeah, so then they put out the pumpkins. And then they go down this creaky elevator. So they send down... Yes,
the three, like, popular... Like, the leaders.
The older children.
They go down first, and then they send the Rhonda and the pirate kid. I forget his name.
The kid who reminds me of what's his name from the Goonies.
Yes, he does. And so they go down, and then they pull like a mean trick where they start chasing her.
Yeah, because they're going down. They hear screams.
Yeah,
and then she goes by, and then there's a bunch of monsters like ah, blah, 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 blah. And then she comes back, and the pirate kid's dead. She's like, ah. And then she falls and hits their head and like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. And she's like, it's just a joke. It's just a joke.
Yeah, because she comes to and the one
starts like sobbing into Schrader's.
Yeah, the guy she has a crush on, who's been like relatively nice to her.
Yeah. Yeah, like has been like a shitty preteen, but like a kind of shitty preteen.
You kind of get the feeling that he didn't think she would react this badly to
Correct.
It.
Yeah, that the goal was to scare her, not to hurt her.
Yeah.
And then when he realized that it went too far, he tries to talk the leader.
He's like, we're done.
Reagan, is that the name we agreed on?
We agree with Morgan. However, I do think the name's Reagan. Oh, okay. I think you just stumble into it by not thinking on it.
Okay, cool. So
it's a good name for women you don't see too often.
Yeah. No, it's a good
terrible name. President. Great name for a woman.
Yes, agreed on both accounts. Schrader is like, Reagan, we're done. Like, can you not see?
Yeah,
we went too far. We're done. And then Reagan gets bitchy and is like annoyed, like fine. But also moody. And then she goes back to try and clean up. And then we find out that the kids.
Yeah, because we start hearing screams and he's like, I'll go check on this. And they go. And then, it turns out that it is the zombified bus chilling. Because she's like, someone else is here. We hear voices. Because this thing where she's like, stop talking. The little pirate Goonies kids, like, I'm not saying anything. And
they all run back to the elevator, and it's just Rhonda in the elevator. And
they're like, please let us in. This isn't a joke. And then she goes up.
Just goes up alone. Yeah.
She gets to the top, and she sees Sam.
Yeah.
They kind of nod at each other, and she walks off. Sam's just living his best life.
Yeah.
Truly the most escapable horror villain of all time, which I like about him conceptually.
Yes. The only people Sam attacks or kills is the bus driver who he has a vendetta against and the woman who breaks Halloween tradition.
Well, it's also because Sam isn't one of the kids on the bus.
Yeah, he was.
No.
Yeah, because who was the kid that he was in the picture?
No, he wasn't.
I almost guarantee you he was.
No, he's a Halloween spirit. That's why he's made out of pumpkin.
Okay, keep going. Because, they're all zombified. Keep rambling.
Yeah, no, I'm going to keep operating on the assumption that he's on the picture. The only people he attacks are people who are, like, really disrespectful towards the holiday. So as long as you're not a psychopath who, like, puts up your Halloween decorations at 11 at night and you give kids that come to your door candy and you're not a piece of shit, you're fine. Because, like, the reason he goes after the old man is because he's a piece of shit who...
Yes, okay. Yes, he is.
He is?
Yes. Let me zoom in on this photo. Keep vamping. Let me zoom in on this photo.
He's not in the bus.
He's in the photo.
But he's not in the bus.
So it's just his friends got killed?
No, I think it's just a spooky he was there thing, because he's a spirit of Halloween.
No, he's a kid in a mask. Like, very obviously a kid in a mask.
Where's Sam?
Sam is the skeleton. Because in the movie, they focus up on the skeleton. And then Sam is the skeleton pumpkin. That's Sam.
I don't think that's Sam.
I almost can guarantee you that's Sam. We're going to, you know what? I'm going to hard cut. We're going to take a pause and do some research. So do you want to explain what we found? And I'll interject.
So we looked at, there's like a comic series that goes along with this movie. It's like a whole universe.
And a short film made in the 90s.
And in the comics, in the 1600s Ireland, we see Sam. And yes. Sam also shows up in the West.
Yes. And in the photo, there are 8 children, but only 7 show up. And one of the children is wearing a skeleton mask, which is kind of the skeleton pumpkin Sam
is. I'm less attached, though. I'm not saying that is him. It's the height, I feel like. It's too tall. Because then when we see Sam in the past, he's also like tiny.
Yeah.
I think it's a possibility that Sam was there for the events of the bus crash, though, because he's anything Halloween, he's there.
Yes, he's there in anything Halloween, and he seems to just be a Halloween spirit.
Oh, he's Sam Heyman or whatever, however you say
it. Sam Haim.
Sam Haim, yeah, that's where Sam comes from. He's the eternal protector of Halloween.
So So this wasn't a, I like either both of us were wrong and both of us were correct. Also, both of us are wrong because we do not have a definitive answer other than he seems to be eternal, but he also was in the picture.
Yeah. But I do think I was correct. He doesn't have a personal vendetta. I think the person why he attacks him is because we see that he like scares away the children trying to get candy. He goes to eat the candy, hates the candy. Because he
breaks Halloween tradition.
Yeah, and that's why later Sam is watching him with somewhat of approval when he's actually giving out the candy.
Yes, and he also, but he also like, he's at the cliff with the kids and he like passes them when they meet him on the port. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
These things are likely connected.
Yes. So, and then the kids from the bus crash are zombies now. They meet him on the front. Oh, wait. We haven't even gotten to Mr. Kriegs.
No.
We're still... Well, that's the end of the, yeah. the kid.
We're the end of the trick-or-treaters.
She goes up the elevator. Rhonda and Sam pass each other. And they like give a knowing nod as if they both recognize each other and then just go about their lives.
Well, she's very knowledgeable about Halloween. So.
Yes. She knows he is Samhain or like All Hallows Eve.
Yeah, because she made like 2,500. That's a real number. Like jack-o'-lanterns outside her house.
Yes.
Yeah, so then we get to Mr.
Mr. Krieg, which also it says... It says in his, like, wiki that he changed his name to Mr. Krieg.
Mm.
But also, you would know, he returned to the town.
He might have not been, like, I don't know. I feel like if someone, because well, this could be like a Kent-sized town, perhaps.
Let's go with that.
If some random bus driver in Kent drowned a bunch of kids... And then they said, oh, he died there and he came back under a different name. As a resident of someone who lived in Kent, I wouldn't be like, wait a minute. Aren't you that bus driver that drives around the disturbed children? I don't think everyone knows each other in that way.
Well, it's the 70s. They knew each other better than like we do now. Like, you knew your neighbor more back then.
Yeah, but he probably moved across town into like a creepy house, and then he just never left his house. You're just like, that's a creepy man. I don't think you're gonna put one and one together necessarily.
Okay, I just think it's weird. I think it's weird that he returned to the same town.
I mean, if there's one thing I've learned from like my history and true crime podcasts, the farther back you go, the easier it is to do this.
You know what? I will concede to that.
Because there's like just physical records. There's like no internet. A lot of that was just by like mouth to mouth or like newspaper or television. Yeah. So unless like a reporter got a whiff of this, they just the weird guy that lives in the house that barely leaves.
So Mr. Krieg is the last story. Also probably the most straightforward.
Yeah.
It's and Mr. Krieg is the neighbor of the principal who like interrupts him.
Yeah.
And so it starts off with them taking the candy, or does it start off with what the hell is going on outside?
It starts with the trick-or-treaters coming to his door.
Yep, you're right. And he's like a recluse, and they come to his door, and he gives them...
Well, they get scared off.
Yeah.
They run away because he dressed candy. He dressed up his dog as a monster.
And yes, that it... Yes. And he steals their candy, and then his dog starts freaking out and barking on the... Like, what's going on outside.
And that's when he goes out, and he has the whole, like, keep your weird kid out of my lawn.
Yes. And it's like, yo, it's... Oh my god, what was the phrase? It smells like a dead whores or something. Yeah, it smells like dead whores. And the dog is eating the finger, and he's saying like, have you taken your shit yet? We're going inside, and we're going to bed.
Because he's already tried watching television, but it's All Halloween, which he hates.
Yes,
and everything that shows up on the screen is kind of a reference to something that's happened so far in the movie.
Yes, and there's like bumps in the house, and something comes through the doggy door, and the dog starts freaking out, but we don't super see anything of what's going on. He turns on the light, it bursts, and we see Sam just dart across the front hallway. The dog squeals, and we never see it again, so we just assume Sam killed the dog.
He goes up to his bedroom, and he turns on the light.
Yeah.
And there's like the blood trick or treat written everywhere.
Trick or treat, give me something good to eat. And written like in the insane asylum, like movies.
Yeah.
And we see Sam, which is this little like puppety scarecrow with a rag. Yeah,
it's like wearing like a classic, like, bum flap bottom kids pajamas.
Yes.
And a sack on the head with buttons for eyes.
Yes. And the Sam starts attacking Mr. Krieg.
He stabs, he goes,
a candy bar with a razor blade in it.
Is that what he stabs him with first? Because I know he peels it back later.
He slices his
heel or calf. Because then he sees him pull up the candy bar and he peels it to reveal the razor. Because at first he's like, huh? And he sees the razor and goes,
Yeah. And so they get into it, and
Because he shoots, he doesn't see him anymore. He goes to leave. There's candy all over the stairs, so he falls down the stairs into glass and razor blades.
Yes, and he's trying to get out, but his hands are at this point cut, and there's like glass in the hands. Yeah. And he's trying to get out, and he can't without, like, severely hurting his hand. And in the principal, when he's, after he's buried the child, and...
Yeah, he does, at one point, he does seem to say, help me, help me. And he goes, yes. Screw you.
Yes. Which we see in the principal's thing, from the outside, him get attacked. Now we're seeing it from the inside. Yeah. Him get attacked by Sam, and he like rips or like cuts Sam's mask off, and it's revealed that he's like a skeleton,
pumpkin skeleton.
Yes.
And he goes,
which looks pretty good.
It looks good.
It looks, I like, it holds up. It looks cheesy and silly, but like it holds up. I like it. And then he gets the shotgun and just blasts him. And then
Sam goes out. He shoots him again.
Plays dead, and his hand is cut off.
Because he goes to call up 911. Then we see that something pulls the cord. He's like, because 911's like, please hold. He's like, yeah. And he's like, what's the emergency? And then the line gets pulled, and he looks over and he sees that the hand's coming back, and he goes, you gotta be fucking kidding me.
Yes, which is Evil Dead 2.
Yeah.
And he reattaches the hand, like Sam reattaches his hand and starts fighting him again. And then.
Because he gets knocked down and he's reaching for like the bottle to use the bottle as a weapon.
And then just like it breaks
his hand. He goes, like the tray that his little like TV tray fell over, which has the candy bar he was eating earlier.
Yes. And he like. Bites because
he pulls out his big old pumpkin lollipop and bites into it. He's gonna stab him,
which is what he uses to slash the neighbor's throat at the end.
That's what she has in her mouth.
Yes.
And then he goes to stab, and then the guy's like, and he's fine because it had stabbed the candy bar. And then Sam picks it up, looks at it, takes a nibble, says, hey, you gave me something good to eat, you read my message, you son of a bitch, and leaves.
And leaves, and then like nods approvingly when he gives the kids the mints. And then the 7 of the 8 children at the bus crash show up at his porch step.
Yeah, because we see that he watches as everything wraps up, because he sees them going over to talk to or kill the woman. We see the werewolf girls, now women again, having a grand old time driving away. We see the principal's son waiting on the front porch because his dad hasn't come back.
Yes.
And we see Rhonda with her wagon. And he closes the door and he hears a knock. And he opens it, and then we see the zombie children.
Yes, and then we hear like screams.
Yeah, because the
agony as they're
the
ripping
Dracula one says, like, trick or treat. And we also get the flashes of the comic panels, which they do at the ending of each story.
And and then I think the movie, I mean, it ends in comic panels, but I think the movie, like, live action officially ends with the neighbor blowing out the candle, the husband going inside, and then Sam walking across the street.
Yeah.
Cool. And that's all four stories?
Yeah, that's every story.
cool. And yeah, and then the beginning is the end. Like, it's all one circle, yeah. Collect overnight. Connected overnight. Yeah, and that is Trick or Treat.
A wonderful movie.
It's fine.
I feel like you need to give it a second rewatch.
I will.
Because there's some points in here where, like, you'd miss things. I think on a second rewatch, knowing those things, you'll be able to appreciate the movie.
Maybe, yeah. I will rewatch. I don't think outside of, like, the movie works really well in moments, and I think as a whole, just it didn't keep me engaged. And I think, like, I wasn't, like, on my phone, but I was disconnected through, like, a lot of this movie. So it's very possible that I missed a bunch just because it, like,
I think it's a great anthology movie.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you like VHS?
I've never seen VHS. We were going to watch VHS.
We're gonna watch VHS. And if you don't like that movie, I'm gonna chalk this up to you don't like anthology horror movies.
I don't. Yeah.
Which might be it. The thing.
That might be it. Yeah. I haven't seen a lot of anthology horror.
Although VHS is, but it's not as there's really no connection between the individual.
See,
stories.
That doesn't. I don't mind that at all. Like, let's just put all of them as
there's
like 25 minute short films.
There's an overarching,
but like a theme.
There's an overarching VHS. They're all these people watching VHS tapes. Yeah. Is the idea.
Okay.
So there's like the big story, and then all these stories are just in the bigger story.
So are they they're films within the overarching?
Yeah.
Film?
In the first VHS, they like I forget why they're like breaking into a home or something. And in the basement, they find a bunch of VHSs, and so they start watching them.
Oh, cool! In the home or when they
in the
steal
home.
Them. Oh, okay. So they just stay in the home they broke into?
Well, because it's one person watching them. The other people are trying to, like, I think, steal something.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah, I'm down. I have seen Creepshow. I liked Creepshow. This is just Ohio. Creepshow in Ohio.
This is a movie that I recommend to, like, literally everyone this time of year. I'm like, you gotta watch Trick or Treat.
Sure. I will say, have you seen any of Dougherty's other movies?
No.
Okay.
Maybe. Actually, I don't know.
Krampus and the Godzilla.
Krampus has been on my list. Which Godzilla?
2019. So whichever one that is.
Did he do Shin Godzilla?
Nah. Keep talking.
No, because Krampus has been on my list, because I like a good holiday movie, and I was such a big fan of this one. I'm like, Krampus has to be good. I just haven't gotten around to seeing it.
It's not. Krampus is not good. I've seen it. I watched it last year. Did not like it at all. It was just so boring.
But you also didn't like this movie.
This movie's better than Krampus.
I think they're all great.
It's so boring. King of Monsters. He directed King of Monsters, and he co-wrote Godzilla v. Kong.
Oh, no, I haven't seen the big budget ones. I like the smaller ones.
But, this movie is better than Krampus. I did not watch... I've not seen any of the large budget Godzilla movies, like the new ones.
I only like the ones that come out of Japan, personally.
Okay. I mean, sure.
Like Shin Godzilla and the Godzilla Zero. Godzilla 1?
Godzilla Minus 1.
Minus 1, yeah. That was real good.
I have been told so many times. It's on, like, it's literally on my watch list, on my to-be watch list on Netflix.
Now it's going to be on this one.
It was already on the list at one point. Or you had mentioned it.
I might have mentioned it. I didn't write it down.
Oh, okay, cool. Add it to the list. I think all of the effects are solid. I think the werewolf storyline is pretty good. Like, I think structurally it works the best. I think the principal storyline is fine. I don't care about the kids line that much. Like, it's not that I don't like it. I just don't care. And I don't care. I didn't care about the neighbor really that much. And I don't know. I just...
It's so tragic to learn that you'd be killed by Sam due to your great distaste.
Halloween. I like Halloween, and I follow traditions, but, like, I don't know. I checked out of most of this movie, and I didn't dislike it. That's not true. I didn't hate it. I just didn't like it.
It's a fantastic film.
It's fine. I am so happy you got more mileage out of this than I did.
Cause like, I'm always a bit weird with how I do my ratings. If I get something like a 10 out of 10, I'm not necessarily saying it's the best movie possible.
Right.
No, I'm saying it's the best movie possible for what it is what I'm saying. Okay. I'm not saying it's the best objective movie, but if I'm giving a movie like a 10 out of 10, it has done everything that this movie could have done well.
Okay. See, nah, I don't even...
It's set out to be a movie about Halloween in Ohio, and it did a fan-fucking-tastic job of it.
Sure, my rankings are just personal enjoyment.
I would change nothing
because I think
this movie.
I don't know if I would change anything about this movie. I don't know. I wouldn't make this movie, but like,
yeah. Tell me how you do better. Tell me how this movie could be improved.
I don't know, dude. You're
in the court of Halloween right now. If you can give me a case on how you would change this movie, you would like it better. You may yet walk. But otherwise, you just hate Halloween. Because if there's nothing that can be improved in this movie, you just don't like Halloween.
That's not true. I can like Halloween and not like this movie. This movie is not Halloween.
This movie's Halloween.
No, it is not.
It is so Halloween.
It is not the holiday of Halloween. It is a movie. I cannot like a movie and still enjoy
the holiday that the Eucharist movie is about. Is the body of Christ.
It's a metaphor.
This is the Eucharist. No, it's not a metaphor. The magic of transubstantiation through the power of the Holy Spirit makes it so.
It's a metaphor.
It's not a metaphor. It's the miracle of transubstantiation.
It's myth and metaphor.
Not in my upbringing.
I'm aware.
The miracle of transubstantiation makes the Eucharist the body of Christ, much like the miracle of transubstantiation. God did it. That's what I'm saying. I made this movie Halloween.
No, it didn't.
This is taking the sacrament of Halloween watching this movie.
I'm done. Do you have any final thoughts?
I think that this is the best Halloween movie ever made. It's the purest form of Halloween. It truly captures the entire holiday into a divinely inspired package of which you can have with wine, thought perhaps some boo juice instead.
I am very happy that you love this movie. I wish that I shared your sentiment. I am so glad that you got way more mileage out of this than I did. That's not true. I am glad you got all of this mileage out of it. I wish that I got as much mileage out of it as you did. It just doesn't work
for
me.
I
will rewatch it at... You know what? Let's do this again next year. And... honestly, if we want to make Trick or Treat our annual Halloween thing...
It's so... I mean, it already is mine. It's so... If I were to make a Kevin Smith movie... That's where I get to direct this movie I'm thinking of, where it's about you finding the magic of Halloween. The opening scene would be you not liking this movie. And then the audience would understand that you need to find the magic of Halloween in your heart.
All right. I'm done. Can we do socials?
Yeah. So if you want to reach out to us and I don't know, maybe write a letter to Harrison pleading with him to love Halloween as much as we all do and, you know, extol its virtues. You can send your manifesto to twomenmoviepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to reach out to us on Instagram, where we're mostly posting right now, like updates when episodes come out, but we'll get other stuff up there too. Two Men Movie Podcast on Instagram. You can find me personally if you want to get into a little community of Halloween stans, the Club Matthew, as we like to call it in the podcast, Midwest_magician. .com because I love the Midwest and I love Halloween.
We are two men and a movie podcast on YouTube.
Yeah.
We don't have video. We're just doing audio. Matthew really wants us to do video and I have no desire to do video. I think it's a nice to have just a pure audio thing. But
because right now he is wearing a shirt that says Halloween is the Satan's Is Satan's Holiday to I'm be not, banned?
I'm wearing a shirt that says Hellvan.
He's wearing
which
a shirt.
Is a horror movie that I helped shoot.
He's wearing
I was
a
cinematographer
it,
on this movie.
It has a Ted Cruz holding a sign and it says Halloween's bad. Then there's an arrow pointing to this and it says my name is Harrison Poole and I agree with this man and his opinion.
No,
it's wild shirt.
It's a shirt that says Hellvan.
It's a wild shirt.
Hell has no cruise control. You know what? Watch Hellvan.
We should watch Hella
watch
Keith Rich.
Hellvan. Okay. Yes, let's do that next year.
It's gonna
for
be so
real.
Bad.
I've never seen it.
It's bad. It's not good.
I own the DVD and I've never seen it.
You own the DVD? Perfect. Yeah.
I stole it from KSUIF.
Hell yeah. It's bad. It's like bad. There's a great article in the Kent Stater when it came out talking about all the haunted stories on campus, which was interesting. I remember reading that because I was in college when it came out. It's bad. It's not good.
I should also say I borrowed it from KSUIF and then they got entirely new presidential like management and I asked if they wanted it back and they didn't care. Yeah. So I just kept it. I stole it, but yeah. Everything's above board. We'll do Hell at Heathridge. We'll do Hellvan.
Trick or Treat again.
Yeah, we'll do Trick or Treat again. We should plan next year's. I don't even know if we'll do Guesttober. We'll figure it out.
We'll do something spooky.
Yeah, hell yeah. You can find me at harrisonpoole.com. That's PooleDot.com. Harrisonpoole.com on Instagram and TikTok. Thank you so much to Tristan Hostetter for doing our theme music. Thank you guys for listening. I appreciate you very much.
Tell your friends. Tell your family.
Absolutely.
Tell trick-or-treaters.
Please.
You know, along with the candy you give kids, give them a little QR code you made yourself. Link to our Spotify.
All right.
Kids love Spotify these days.
All right. Thank you so much for listening.
Happy Halloween.
Happy.
You know, I hope, because this is coming out right before.
This comes out the 28th.
I hope you have a wonderful Halloween. I hope your costumes are scary or slutty. Those are the only two ideals they can, or both. Scary, slutty, if you want. Whatever you want. You know, I hope you had some good candy. I hope you had some good fun. And we'll see you in November.
Where, with a serious man.
Yeah. As we approach Squanto's birthday.
Yes. Thank you so much. And happy Halloween. And so
love
long and
you,
good night.
Kisses.
This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.